Okay, hi you guys. This is Esmeralda. This is my first podcast episode, and I'm here with my friend. You could say his name because I don't want to botch it.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Ahmed. Thanks for having me.
This is the first. I wanted to start my podcast with an introduction episode, but I wasn't able to do that because I'm lagging and I'm spread pretty thin. So I started this podcast inspired by Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary V, maybe a lot of you know him, just because I have a lot of side projects, a lot of business ventures. My most important one that I care the most about is my small startup. I can't tell you too much about it because I'm still in the research and developing, and I'm doing it slowly because I'm an MBA student as well. I'm in the middle of my master's degree with an emphasis in information systems management, and I do light project management with branding and social media. I help individuals with stuff like that. And how do I pronounce your name again?
Ahmed.
I knew it was something like that. With Ahmed, we met on Twitter, right?
And
you have the DMs. It was through a DM. Because obviously, that was actually the first, I don't know if you know, that's the first social media account I kind of ever had. Did you know
really?
That?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
A long time ago, I got a MySpace.
Yeah.
But I only got it, because my dad's family lives far away. And honestly, I never really used it like that.
Yeah.
And when I started my Twitter account,
I think Twitter for me was the first social account. Yeah.
Yeah, because then later on, I was debating Instagram. Debating it, yeah. And honestly, I had met Gary on CNBC Follow the Leader, that show. Did you know that?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I did. They followed leaders like CNBC because you guys, I am fascinated by business. My bachelor's degree is a business degree as well. Mm-hmm. It's not a business major, but it's a business degree. It's a bachelor's of science in technical management. And it's a pretty big fascination to me. So obviously I watched shows on CNBC and they had featured him in one episode.
Okay.
Because they have different people.
Yeah, I know he has been coming on TV for a long time. He's been coming on and off of CNBC and CNN and stuff.
Yeah, and just because obviously his main platforms are social media type of platforms. Because I understand that, if I would be in a show, he doesn't have a lot of control of the editing and stuff like that. On shows.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He doesn't. No. So I understand that. It's funny because even he mentioned that CNBC has reached out to him to have his own show a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said that. I think they asked him for Shark Tank. I think they...
Really?
To be an investor.
He mentioned it.
Yeah.
He didn't want
to
be on that?
No. And then I think he's mentioned that they called him for The Prophet as well, and he said no.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Damn.
And it's funny because I've watched The Prophet.
Yeah.
So I remember sitting and having my, I wrote down Gary V.
What's that?
I wrote down Gary V on my notes in my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I have to follow this guy.
Yeah.
So I started my Twitter account, and I remember I said to myself, I'm going to get somewhere. And I still had in mind that I was going to be in the corporate world, not in the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah.
I, in my head, had that I was going to retire early because I always been an individual. I was like, I'm going to do so many things. I don't fit into a box. Mm-hmm. I'm going to end up having franchises, my own business, different types of businesses.
Yeah.
I was like, that way I just retire early and it's perfectly fine. I didn't think it would be this early.
Yeah.
I'm not retired, obviously, but I didn't think I would start this early. But anyways, I said to myself, I'm going to get to a level and people are going to want to hear from me. I should start my Twitter account. And I don't know how. I don't know if you followed me or I followed you.
I think you followed me. Then I said, hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for the follow.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Yes. And he sent me this DM, you guys, on January 15, 2017.
Yeah.
And I put thank you as well, and he said you're welcome.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, he messaged me again.
Hey,
he's hey.
Yeah.
And I put hello.
Yeah. And probably, let's go through that. Okay. So probably she gave a badass meme response.
Yeah, you said how are you, and I'm like, I'm okay, because I just thought it was kind of weird. And then, yeah, I remember that one. I think that's how that's how it started. So then he put, it was a nice meme response, badass. And I'm like, my GIF, thanks. I wonder what...
Yeah.
You probably saw it in my feed. I wonder what that...
Yeah, probably a feed, yeah.
Yeah, obviously in your feed.
Yeah, that's what... But I wonder what... Your,
yeah.
It's like, okay, just say, you know, like 3 months ago, like I even forgot, like, okay, but let's say I had to, you know, and I saw this feed, and I'm like, okay, let me reach out to her again. And yeah. Like, you know, it's really cool feed, and... I was like, okay, let me just say hi and just, you know, really nice. You know, that was a really badass meme.
We're going to have to find what I responded to. Because honestly, online, like, my responses are pretty, like, I don't know, you can tell I'm pretty, like, not raw. I mean, raw, yeah, I am. But
like calling people's bullshit out. Something like that, you know?
I probably did something like that. So what else? I put thanks. Oh, and then I remember I looked into your account and I asked them, are you a startup founder? Or you're a founder to a startup?
Yeah.
And then you told me?
Yeah. Like, so it's like, I started working on it basically a couple of months before.
So tell us about your startup. So you guys, I had gone, after I said, yeah, thank you, because he sent me a DM about a GIF that I had responded to a certain tweet. I went to his account and I saw that he was a founder of a startup. And I think at that time, I don't even know... I think I just have the thought. I had the thought of what I wanted to do, but I hadn't finalized it. Yeah, no. When I finalized it, I'll go back to it. I just want to note that it was 2017, but it was like during when I had said yes, I'm gonna do it. It was because I saw a clip of. I saw a clip of Mark Zuckerberg giving his speech at Harvard. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was during. It was like June, July. Mm-hmm. So that's when I had already, because I had already been thinking about it, but we'll get back to that later. But that interested me because I was like, oh, I want my startup as well. And this guy already has one. I thought it was cool. So then now tell us about it.
So yeah, like, so I got into, so I'm a data scientist at Insight Softmax. We are a technology consulting firm. We give end-to-end software solutions to, like, basically provide you with data science solutions. We will build your data pipelines and, install machine learning in your already non-AI systems. So I'm a data scientist at this firm, and, like, I got into data science, like...
Because do you have your bachelor's too or no?
I have my bachelor's.
You do? Okay, tell us about your portfolio, your background.
Yeah, so like my bachelor's is in information technology. It's like really close to computer science.
Yeah.
But
it's not as hard, huh? That's kind of like not outdated, but I know my mom's brothers have an associate's in information technology.
Yeah.
I think that has advanced to computer science, right?
Yeah. Like they kind of like merge all the computer science things, all the classes, mm-hmm. all the programming classes into the information technology to make it like updated basically. And and during the third year, like during my junior, right, I saw a seminar about this guy came to our college and he gave a seminar on big data. I had heard about big data in newspapers, but like I read the article, but the news piece was like really unclear what big data was. And like I was just talking to my dad, I was like, okay, dad, do you know what they're talking about? What's big data? Like what's this new thing? And dad read the article, I read it. We couldn't like quite make out what actually it was. And apparently, like just a couple of days after, this guy came to give an interview. Basically a talk about big data. And
this wasn't in Texas, because you're right now...
Yeah, that was in India, because I did my bachelor's in India.
Yeah, you did your bachelor's in India. Yeah. Okay.
And I was, like, sitting alone and just, just watching what this guy was saying. My friends were sitting at the end of the row, and that's how I paid attention to this guy. Oh. Usually, if they're with me, then I'm not.
Was that guy from the States, or he was just from somewhere in India?
So the background of that guy is, his name is Mr. Shamshad Ansari, and that guy, he's born and raised in India, but he has a company in the States, and his name of his company is Acure, Acure Technologies, and he came to India to recruit engineers and to train them and like basically hire people within India. So he has like engineers in US and India. So he was basically like giving people like telling college students, okay, big data is the next thing. You should get into it, and like all of this data is like you're not able to handle it just on a single computer, and you need like multiple servers to basically like compute and, you know, perform calculations and stuff like that. So at the end of it, he offered us like, okay, I'll train you in this big data thing. Uh-huh. You just have to pay me. So that was his model. So he was just coming, you know, selling his idea to students. Like, you'll get a job after this, but you have to like pay me like this amount, and I'll train you in that. Then I'll give you a project. And if you're like good in that, then I'll probably give you an internship, and from that we'll move forward. And out of my whole college, out of the like 500 students who were there, there was like three crazy people who were like willing to pay that absurd amount of money for just to know what that was.
Yeah.
And I was like, nobody was, well, give that guy shit, you know, like, well, what is that? But like, nobody's gonna pay you like 20,000 rupees for that, for like, how much is that in dollars? I don't know.
I'm not familiar with Indian money or something.
Yeah, it's like 71 rupees, 70. Oh, $1 is 70 rupees. So it's probably, yeah.
It still sounds like a lot. It's a few grand,
it's
right?
It's a few grands, right? And later I came to know that it was just a 3-day workshop. Like 8 hours a day. And it was a 3-day workshop. Oh my God. So I was like, okay. I was afraid to ask my dad. He was not gonna give it to me. Then he was like, okay, you know, just see.
So he
let me do it. So fast forward that, we went there where this guy was giving a training. We saw there was just 5 people were there, and he had expected around 20 people, and just got 5 out of the whole state of New Delhi.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was like pretty disappointed. He's like, oh, I've been traveling to and fro from states, and just, you know, turn out it's just 5 people. It's just really disappointing. But okay, whatever. So we had that rigorous like 8-hour every day for the 3 days, training session. And then later on, we asked him for, okay, we want to work on this project. Can we extend it? He said, okay, let's do that. And we worked on that project with him for the next 3 months, which then extended to 6 months. And then finally, we were able to complete that project. And then the time came, and I was like, okay, can I? So I just reached out to him. I was like, my college asked me that everybody is required to do an internship.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, so I was like, I know this guy, let me just hit him up and just ask him if I can do an internship, come over. And he said, yes, come over. And I went to Bangalore, it's one of the states of Karnataka. The main city is Bangalore. And I went there to do that internship. It was unpaid. I was like, okay, no problem. I was already living with one of my relatives. I was like, okay, I can, the rent is no problem. I can totally do this. And after this whole like 3 months of like internship, one day he sat with me. What happened? Okay.
Oh no, I'm thinking about something.
Okay, yeah. So he sat with me. He kind of like pitched his whole company's idea to me. He's like, Amit, you did a great job. You'd love to work on this new product you're working on. The name is Momentum, and you would be, but right then I had the idea of like coming to states and doing my master's. So I had to say no to him. And he was pretty disappointed, but we were like, okay, we'll
You mentioned this because this is something that kind of sparked your curiosity for the startup.
Exactly. Like, he's the person who basically I attribute all of my career and my interest into this field. Single person. Yeah.
Because he sparked your curiosity.
Exactly. Like,
that's what happened to me, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like, the startup world, obviously, I had heard of Google.
Yeah.
I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah.
I know they started as a small company, but I wasn't familiar with that term.
Uh-huh.
Or the startup world. I didn't know that it was, like, a separate small world within the business world. And my friend was, like, my friend who we were talking about, that he's he's a doctor for big old biotech companies. He's the one who I met at a networking event, and he's like, hey, you would do good in a startup. Not even as a startup founder, just a startup. So he got me into all of that. I'm like, what? So that's funny. That's funny. I wonder if a lot of startup founders start that way.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're sparked by somebody, but had you heard of startups before that term or no?
I had. Like, I read them like in the this new startup thing was like, startup was not a thing like back in, like, if you take like 7 years, 5 years back,
it probably wasn't.
It wasn't, like, nobody
because
knew
there's a lot of inflation right now as well. That's probably why there's a lot of inflation.
Probably. And like, so this guy, like, he was working for IBM. Like, he worked there for like 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's when he decided, like, okay, let me just move away from the corporate world and like start my own thing.
Tell us his name again.
It's like Shamshad Ansari.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I met this guy at a networking event and he worked for IBM. I wonder if they
really?
Know
oh, really? Oh, really? Well, who knows? Small world,
that's
right?
So weird. Well, because small IBM, world. A lot of people there, if you see their stat, it's a lot of, I'm sorry, they're not like 20-year-olds. A lot of them are like,
oh, they're not.
They're like 30, 40-something. They're
they
like
are,
older
yeah.
people.
Yeah,
which
kind of like,
scares me.
Why is that?
It scares me because, I mean, it kind of scares me because I feel that they're not, one, either they don't want to hire younger people, or two, younger people are not attracted to those companies, and obviously we're the ones that are going to take over.
Yeah,
the corporate world.
So the problem with IBM, like what I have noticed, but one of my friends is working there too, and he says like in his team, like all of them are like above 30. There's 30 plus people, and entry into the IBM is like not easy, like because like they do not lay off people that easily. So like old people keep working there,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, they become managers and executives, and they just they never let them go. So that's the IBM's policy, kind of. So it's like really difficult for them to hire new people,
which is not good.
Which is not good, and they, it's their policy, right? So like they will realize that over time, and probably might want to change it.
I feel they're gonna lightly fall, them and Cisco.
Yeah, you know.
Even though they're so big, like, hello, we've seen Sears fall, we've seen Toys R Us, even though they say Toys R Us is coming back. We've seen a lot of big companies fall. Apple at one point obviously was falling.
Exactly.
You know, and some people argue the fact that they're falling right now.
Well, yeah, you can obviously look at their latest iPhone sales and like their quarter performance.
Not just with numbers.
Yeah.
But even other people are like, they're not innovating, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I try to be, sometimes I don't want to like talk bad about them because I think because I'm so like, I love Steve Jobs. But then it kind of is a little bit the truth that they don't have an innovating product.
Yeah.
But then a long time ago. We'll get back to this, but let's get back to the how this sparked your startup.
exactly, yeah. So this guy, I attribute everything to him. If he's listening, you know, just you're the greatest person. you know.
He's going to listen. One day he's going to listen. So it's going to take one person to tell him that you're mentioned in a podcast.
Yes, you're mentioned in a podcast. Sir, you are doing some good job.
Oh, my God.
You sparked one person's curiosity. Auto. And I would tell you, like, what happened. I was the only person that interned there out of those five people. Out of that whole of the state of Delhi.
And do you think it's because he didn't show too much interest? Or then it's also an underdeveloped country. There's not a lot of people who could pay that amount.
Yes. Yeah, so the first was a money barrier. Like, not a whole lot of people
right?
can
that
pay
like
that.
Right? That's like a lot. For 3 days?
3 days. Yeah, no. But, like, people could have, like, if people wanted to do it, they could have seen the long term, that you can develop a relationship with this guy. And like, so one of the partners that I was working with on this project, right? So she was a master's student. And the fact that she could not afford to live in Bangalore and work there without pay was the factor that she said, like, oh, I cannot work for you. Like, I cannot do an internship.
He should have known. Was he from New Delhi, you said?
Well, he's not. He was from Bangalore, and he was living in States. So he was like, and he
should have known, just simply being, even if he came for money or not, I mean, he should have known how hard it is for people.
Yeah, exactly. So he should have, like, just paid a little bit, like, you know, just for the rent or something like that, but
at least right
yeah,
I would
right.
do that if I knew. Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, but you know, it worked out for me because I had family there, so I got there, so he offered me then, and you know, later on I decided, okay, I need to do more in this stuff, like just being a bachelor student into this
industry.
It's not enough. Like, people are PhDs here who are working here,
yeah,
and I'm just, you know, bachelor's, nothing, it's not gonna work. And I looked it up, and I just researched, and I saw that this data science was coming up in the United States, and I found this Andrew Ng guy who opened this company. You know about Andrew Ng? This guy who's like, he's a Coursera founder.
Coursera,
the website that, you know, where you can take courses online. It's
I've
like,
probably heard of something like that.
Yeah. So he's a Stanford professor, and the first course that, so I came to know about machine learning from this 3 months of training with this guy. And I thought, like, machine learning is the thing that's driving AI. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me look it up. What's machine learning? And I saw this guy, he was, like, professing, okay, machine learning is the thing to do. And he was a professor at Stanford, and it was his company. And the first course he offered was machine learning course. Mm-hmm. And I took that course. I was like, shit, man, this is the thing to do. And this is the thing that I want to do. And where better to do it than US? And then I came here and did my master's. Mm-hmm. And did my master's, and then all these years. So, yeah. So, I'll tell you about my startup, okay? So, when I was working with this guy, and, like, I was, you know, researching stuff. And so, I was, like, I started doing projects on my own that were on Kaggle. There's a website, Kaggle.com, which basically, like, puts up, like, these data sets. And then, you know...
Like exercises?
The exercises,
oh,
right?
Okay.
And they come up with competitions where, like, you can take part and you can, like, predict the future or, like, predict the answers to that those exercises, right? So people compete and, you know, they come up with... So I was, like, doing pretty good there. And I decided, like, okay, why not? Why not? Like, I can do this stuff. Like, why not, like, approach companies and, like, you know, get their data.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, help them, you know, come up, predict things, like... predict their prices, predict their flight tickets, or anything like that, you know, anything can be predicted with the machine learning models. So yeah, that's what my model was. So I started approaching people, and that was the main goal of my startup. Then it got, like, you know, hindsighted, and I just went on with my master's, but that is the plan to follow in the future. So
it's kind of what you do right now with the consulting, right?
Yeah, so I decided, like, okay, let me learn more of this stuff because I'm just a beginner right now. So that's why I want this experience. So right now I'm working with clients on behalf of inside SoftMax. I'm dealing with them. I'm cleaning their data. I'm suggesting them what can be done. I'm meeting with investors and, like, helping them curate their data and stuff like that. So it's been going pretty well, and I'm hopeful of, like, you know getting full time into, you know, consulting and starting my own thing.
Yeah. That's what, when I saw that you had a startup, I'm like, oh my god. So that's what attracted me to it. Let's check what else I put in the DMs.
So our DMs on Twitter. We were like, okay,
we were just talking about it, blah blah blah. Yeah. What did I put?
So you said, like, then I asked you, like, okay, so you told me about yourself.
Oh, it's because he told me, oh, I had to stall it because he had to. And I'm like, oh, I'm... And then I told him, oh, I'm close to Silicon Valley and in California.
Yeah.
And looking to get into a startup in SF as a business professional. If you need help later on, let me know and I'll see what I can do. There's many in SF. I see you're not in California, but I can be wrong.
Yeah.
How funny that I met that I...
And yeah, so, like, I said, like, oh, it means a lot. And I'm also looking to work with a startup this summer in SF, and I'll definitely let you know. So I got my internship, like, I knew I was going to work in a startup that summer, and I'll let you know that, okay, I'll be coming to SF. And
because I think later on you came for a presentation, right?
Yeah, presentation. I came here for a presentation first, and then I came here for working at that startup, but we could never meet then.
Well, you came twice, and I think one time I had a car issue.
Yeah.
Something happened to my car, blah blah.
And then,
let's see when I actually, let's see if it, I told you right there in the DMs later, I tell him.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of DMs after this, but let's find the one, the date where I told you, hey, let's exchange numbers.
Yeah.
That way we could, if we need each other professionally, that's what happened. There's a lot of, because we were back and forth talking and stuff like that.
Okay.
Go to the end of them. That's where it ended.
Exactly.
The DMs. Look, oh yeah, there we go. So yeah. I put, hey, do you mind if I send you my cell number? I feel in the future or near future we will help each other out in our career. And this was already February of 2018. Oh my god, the beginning of this year.
Shit.
February 5th.
Yeah.
2018. And you're like, yeah, sure, blah blah, and I send it to him.
Yeah.
I send him my number and then I put, I text you, and then it ended.
Then it, you know, that's how it started.
So, like, whenever I need something, like I have a question or something for my startup or something I want to do or this or that, and it's kind of like data type of thing or something in technology that I feel he would understand, I just text him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this is so weird because I think even before I had heard Gary talking about the networking online, that's what it is.
Yeah, basically. Like,
that's
this
what
is,
it is.
This is pre-LinkedIn.
Yeah, because it's funny because this wouldn't easily happen on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is another one that's easily later on going to die. I don't get creativity creative really? People from LinkedIn. No, yeah. I don't. It could just be me.
Yeah, I feel that too. Like, right? Like, there are like really less creative people. Like, people have not realized that this can be used for, you know, you can just really hack this platform.
And you like, you can, yeah, but yeah. then you can't do it too much because it's not, you can't be as creative as on the different platforms.
Yeah. That's true. I mean,
you can't.
Like, they have on purpose kept it a little bit boring. I think so.
You feel they've done it?
Yeah. I mean, on purpose, like, it doesn't have that, you know, GIFs and like stuff like that, because like they want, you know, serious conversations to take place there.
And yeah, you're right. But then again, when we were going back to the same lightly feeling we have with IBM, that's kind of with them, right?
Like, it doesn't have to be boring, right? You can innovate in a sense that. Yeah,
and then people are very sometimes stupid on LinkedIn. Like, it's too old to the point that I remember one time I had seen somebody that follows me on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I had seen, oh, check out my thing on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And anyways, it didn't say follow me or connect with me on LinkedIn. So I did a mistake that I went to connect with them on LinkedIn. And I was like, hey, I saw your tweet, blah, blah, let's connect, blah, blah. And he's like, well, what tweet are you talking about, blah, blah. And I was trying to look for it. And I'm like, wait, he probably doesn't want to connect because it just said read my article. Which is still kind of dumb. Because I would just be like, yeah, here, read my article, blah, blah, just tweet it out. People do that, but then he's not at a certain, not even Gary does that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, hey, read my article. That's not how you do it.
That happens. And I never read those articles. Like, people who reach out to me like that. Like, you know, why would I read it? Like, what's the value in there?
It's funny because he didn't send me a tweet. I had just seen one of his tweets. I think I was looking for people who wanted to connect on LinkedIn via Twitter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I told them.
And I
forgot.
And I reached out to you. I only reach out to people who are, like, really active on these platforms. Mm-hmm. And I saw you, like, you would tweet a lot.
I was probably making fun of people, yeah.
And you were you were tweeting a lot.
Yeah.
You were, like, so active. I was like, she will definitely reply. And she will, like, because, like, people who are not active, they don't, like, reply to DMs and stuff like that. They're not active on that.
It's funny because sometimes I get them and I just ignore them.
Yeah, right.
Because sometimes they're kind of weird. Not weird, but they're very mechanical.
Yeah.
It could be like that on Twitter. Not all the time, but yeah.
And Twitter's got bots too, so probably.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But anyways.
Okay. So yeah, probably.
I had told them, I don't think I was able to find the tweet, but then I realized, he probably didn't want to connect. Mm-hmm. And anyways, he's like, that's funny. I'll accept your invitation. Mm-hmm. But that's how they are. Like, God forbid you try to connect with somebody that you don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, that's kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're on a public platform. It isn't, then it isn't. Because if you want to grow, you know, why be like, I don't want to accept them. I don't know them.
Yeah, it's like,
it's kind of weird. People are like that online. And it's funny because I've seen in my feed.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on LinkedIn.
Oh, God. Like, dude, like, it's a social platform. Everything is public. Just accept the call. Just do networking. Meet in real time.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is meeting real time these days.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just.
It was a simple request to connect. Anyways.
Yeah.
I had seen that he kind of expressed those certain feelings of, I don't know why people ask to connect if you haven't met him in person. Yeah. Some people are like that. I think it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, like LinkedIn started with that and has that, you know.
Mentality.
Like,
it does. You know what? Yeah, it does. I think I wear that.
Do you know this person?
I think.
It will prompt you to say, like, when you ignore that person, you'll say, do you know this person or you don't? Or like, dude.
You know what? Yeah, they frown upon that. You're right. I forgot.
Like, LinkedIn's core values are still, you know, very based on, like, okay, meet people in person and then send them this connection.
Mm-hmm.
Or probably some people would be like, you need to know this person's email to send him a request.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's absurd, man. Like,
They do have the follow button.
Yeah.
And it's funny because some people are like, they should follow me first and then connect. And I'm like, come the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, if especially, I mean, I understand somebody like Gary or one of those big executives not connecting because they're probably at the max. And in anyways, he understands that that's not the big platform. He's still on there,
he
understands that's not the biggest one.
He is.
I don't think he said it, but anyways, I later on want to make a podcast of some dumb shit I saw from LinkedIn. No, I saw a video of like an executive or somebody in their high management basically saying that if you weren't like from an Ivy League school, that he didn't give a fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
He said that?
He didn't say it like that, but that's kind of like what I got from it.
Yeah.
He kind of made the example, if you're not from so-and-so, and he mentioned some like good school,
really?
Well, then what? Yes. That's kind of disgusting. Because he probably himself is probably somebody like that's like, even if he's from an Ivy League school, you're not known. I don't even remember his damn name. I could swear this was on LinkedIn's Instagram post or a business post about LinkedIn. I'm gonna look for it later. I'm gonna talk about it. And I'm gonna tag him.
Call him out.
But anyways, yeah, that's just a little bit more about my startup and just maybe my business ventures. My startup started me. I faced a lot of diversity issues that we face, because not just as a woman, but as somebody who's Mexican American, we're obviously a double minority. And even in Silicon Valley, because right now we are in California. Yep. I'm around the Silicon Valley area. I don't live directly there, but Amit, he is in the Bay for a few days on business and family from Texas, because that's where he's based right now. Hopefully later on he'll be closer. But this is the second time we've met in person, right?
This trip was the first time I got to meet you.
We
were looking forward to meet for so long, and like, okay, this is the gotta make it. And the fact that we are so far, like, distance wise, like,
This is interesting. This doesn't happen easily. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, then it doesn't. Yeah. But that's kind of how people have to be open and find people that you know have like minded.
Yeah.
You know, we're different, but we have like ambitious goals in our career and stuff like that.
You should be willing to meet at least. Like,
yes. But by the time we met, which was we just met in person like a week or two ago, a week.
That's
the first time we met in person.
Yeah, and we've been talking since like 17, right?
Yeah, the beginning of 2017. It's going to be close to 2 years. You guys could find me on my Instagram. It's Emerald's Journey, at Emerald's Journey. I don't know if I should mention the startup name right away, because it's not too much legally protected.
Yeah.
Even though it's out there, it doesn't matter. It's not like if I have like thousands and millions of people who follow me. It's Diversify You, and that is a letter U, not the word U. And it started with me once I tried to elevate to a higher position that had more weight in the corporate world than in Silicon Valley. I faced a lot of issues that women face. Obviously I'll talk more about them later, but that's just a small background. In my professional, I have a healthcare background. I do have a healthcare degree as well, an associate's degree, an associate's of applied science and medical assisting. And I'm a business person as well, so I understand a lot of things. And my emphasis for my MBA, info systems management. That's just a small background.
Yeah.
And little by little, I'm gonna have co-hosts. I meet my co-hosts again. I'm gonna make them co-host all the way from Texas. I'm gonna have different people on the platform, because obviously, you know, if you plan to be in business 20 years from now, or somebody 20 years from now, in the future, you have to be on different platforms. So thanks for listening to my first podcast, and I'll let you guys go.